This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by ABSFAM, ABSFAM.com, for the coolest hockey shirts you can't find anywhere else because they're not available anywhere else. They're only available at ABSFAM.com, ABSFAM.com. The Colorado Avalanche went to Winnipeg with winning on their mind, but left with a loss and probably a little bit of frostbite considering it's the coldest place on earth right now, or at least close to it. While Winnipeg may not be one of our official rivals, I would say that it's not just the fans who don't like the Winnipeg Jets, it's also the players too. It's always a bit of a spirited game when the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets get together, and there's almost always at least one fight between McLeod and Thorburn. These guys call each other up before the game, talk about the fight, where they're going to have it, when they're going to do it. I don't know if that's true or not, but they absolutely fight every single game, and I think that it's a thing of respect, but it's also this ongoing battle to see who's going to best who. And if we're being honest, I've never seen Cody McLeod lose one, maybe a draw once, but he almost always gets the better of Thorburn. And in an equally interesting storyline, Calvin Pickard starts his first game as a starter in front of his parents, who are sitting in the stands in Winnipeg, drinking a beer and watching their son play some hockey. And hockey they did. The first period was a pretty respectable period from the Colorado Avalanche. There wasn't a lot going on, but there wasn't a lot of goals against either, and to me, that's a win right there. But there were three periods of hockey played, and we're going to talk about each one of them in order because that makes good sense.
Period one. Period.
If you're a fan of goals, you might have been a little disappointed in the first period between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche, but if you're an Avalanche fan, you understand that no goals is a good thing, at least in the first period, because we didn't have any goals against. We did have some penalties, however, including the fight that we mentioned before, but also Mark Dano boarding against Blake Como, and it was something that looked a little bit rough, but if I'm being honest, Blake Como has a way of making everything look a little bit rough against him, so long as it draws the arm of the ref. Good on you, Blakey. With this penalty, the Colorado Avalanche did exactly nothing, really. And later on in the period, the Colorado Avalanche took their own penalty, Eric Gelinas, for slashing against Mark Dano. This Dano guy keeps coming up, and they did absolutely nothing with it either. In one of my favorite tweets of the night, SeanMurphy_92, in case you'd like to follow him on Twitter, says, "The Avs power play hasn't changed. Needs more movement." And you spelled movement kind of French-looking. It's pretty cool. And he's exactly right. The Colorado Avalanche power play is predictable from the breakout to the drop pass to Mac to taking the zone and doing little with it. And while we're talking about predictable play, you can almost count on Dustin Byfuglien to punch somebody in the head away from the puck and get away with it. And it's exactly what happened in this one. It was McLeod's head, and that's probably why he got away with it. And just when I thought I was the only one seeing this and being pissed off about it, AJ Hafley tweets, "I'm at a loss for how that exchange didn't result in a penalty. That said, Byfuglien gets away with as much nonsense as anybody." To which HippieDog10 replies, "He's such a dick." I agree with both comments. You know, I really thought for a minute we were going to see McLeod and Byfuglien drop the mitts and throw knuckles, but I have to say, Cody, be careful, bro. He's a large man. And while I don't like to spread rumors, what I hear is that Byfuglien actually played Jack in Jack and the Beanstalk as a kid, but he ate one of the beans and started to sprout before they could get it back out of his mouth. It's only a rumor, folks. I cannot confirm it. But it's probably true. How can it not be true? And we move on.
Period 2.
As the music would suggest, period 2 had a different tone altogether. There were no fights, and there was a goal. The unfortunate part was the goal was not for the Colorado Avalanche, it was against the Colorado Avalanche by Patrick Laine, who has one hell of a rocket of a shot, for sure. And even though the Avalanche didn't score in the second period, there were some interesting points worth talking about. One of those is Big Z. He has put the fear into the hearts of the Jets players as they enter the zone, and as you can see them second-guessing anything to the outside near the boards. That's exactly what I'd like to see from Big Z. Put fear into the hearts of anyone trying to cross his damn blue line. And overall, the play of Big Z has been improving quite a bit, and by that I mean he's not taking nearly as many penalties, he's having a better gap control, and he's definitely playing better hockey altogether. If you don't see him out there until he makes a big hit, that's perfect. That's exactly what you want to see from Big Z. You don't want to see him skating off to the box, shaking his head, holding his hands up like he doesn't understand the rules in the North American hockey game. I think there's hope for this guy. And then things got just a little weird slash entertaining. Calvin Pickard went down to make a save and never really got back up. As the play went down the ice, the refs must have been looking behind them because he never got back up off his knees and he looked like he was hurting pretty bad. I'm not entirely sure what it was. My only guess is that it's going to be a shot to the collarbone where the puck rattled him pretty good. He shook it off and played the rest of the game. But the entertaining part is Spencer Martin. He jumped on the ice like a man on a mission. He was ready to go play some hockey. Although he did look a little bit nervous about it, it would have been good entertainment to see him out there in his first game thinking, maybe I should have got some better sleep. I didn't think I'd actually play tonight. And as the period was coming to an end, I was thinking to myself, you know, Barry hasn't been horrible tonight either. And this would show my hockey ignorance at moments because Rycroft quickly corrected me. And I'll be honest, I didn't get the mistakes that Barry made on the goal until Ryker pointed them out and learned me a thing or two about hockey. I really like Rycroft. Not his funny clothes, but he's a smart dude. And he had a really smart quote too. He said, the Avs aren't reading the plays quick enough to respond. And he's absolutely right. The Avs seem a little bit lost until the puck's already past them and in the net. So by the second intermission, I think that everybody in Avalanche land had had a couple of beers by this point, and they were also watching the Broncos lose a game. I'm pretty sure that outside of my house, I heard about 20,000 people go, what the hell, Norwood? It just wasn't a good day to be a sports fan in Colorado, and the third period didn't get any better.
Period 3.
Period 3 was full of heartbreak and sadness, as you might expect in an Avalanche game. Within the first 5 minutes, two goals were scored against the Colorado Avalanche, making this game, well, pretty much over at that point. But Colorado Avalanche did come on later, outshooting the Winnipeg Jets and getting a goal towards the end of the game by Jerome Iginla, his fourth of the year. But just when you thought the Cardiac Kids might be getting their band back together, Nikolai Ehlers scores his seventh goal of the season, putting a stake through the heart of Colorado Avalanche fans around the world. You see, friends, it's not just that the Colorado Avalanche lost and didn't look impressive in doing it to the Jets. It's the idea that we're getting to that point in the season where there's really not any coming back at this point. Even if we had a good run, it'd probably be for nothing in the end. And it's sad. It's sad to see your team suck year after year after year. I'm a homer. I'm the ultimate fan. You can get pissed all you want. I'm as big a fan as any of you are. But if we're being honest, this isn't going to be our year. Things aren't going that awesome. And the best we can hope for is change. Positive change. Something that will give us something to hope for in the next year, in the next coming years, in the next 5 years. We need something to turn this organization around and make them dominant and prominent once again. And while there's a lot of theories out there about how exactly the Avalanche should go about rebuilding and bring themselves back to that prominent situation, the idea of blowing up the core sounds like a bad idea to me. It sounds like we're just getting mad, kicking over the sandcastle and walking home. Where what we need to do is really look at what we have in an objective way. And what we do have is some good players under some good contracts that are young and still improving, and with better players around them could be much better. On the flip side, I would say what we don't need is any more aging hockey players with big contracts and no move clauses. But honestly, I'm not saying anything that anyone else hasn't said and you haven't heard before, including on this podcast. So I tell you this, the Avs find themselves heading off to Minnesota to play the hated Wild, who are playing much better hockey than we are, by the way. And if you think about it, in the season that we've had and the ever-shrinking season left, this could be a big game for the Avs. If there's any hope left for this team, it needs to start here. We need to pull it all together for one game and beat our rival. If not, the Avs will surely slide into a hockey depression that will be too deep, too dark, and too much to recover from. So tomorrow night, we get to see exactly what this team has left in them. Fight or flight, it's all on the line. If you like these podcasts, tell your friends about them and then tell them to go to coloradohockey.com and click on the button that says get it on iTunes, because it's awesome and it comes right to you and you can listen to it whenever you want. It's like a radio show in your pocket at any time. This and every other show that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com, the coolest hockey shirts you can find for the coolest hockey people we can find. Super awesome. Check them out. absfam.com. Stay awesome.